Good morning, everyone, and welcome to another devotional in 2 John. I'm Pastor Jason Van Bemmel from Forest Hill Presbyterian Church. It is good to be with you on this rainy Wednesday morning. The day is only going to get rainier as the remnants of Hurricane Ida are making their way into our area. We should be praying for the people in Louisiana and Mississippi. This rain outside today should be a prompter for us to remember to pray for the people of Louisiana and Mississippi who got hit hard by Ida back on Sunday. And many people still without power, many people lost homes, businesses, some people lost their lives, and it'll take a long, long time to rebuild and recover. Well, today we're looking at 2 John verses 3 through 8. So let's pray together and ask God's help. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this wonderful little book of 2 John, this letter from the apostle and elder John to us. As your church, we pray that you would help us to hear the words of this letter and help us to walk in the truth, even as Christ is the truth. We pray this in his name. Amen. Amen. 2 John, we'll start at the beginning. The elder, to the elect lady and her children, whom I love in truth, and not only I, but also all who know the truth, because of the truth that abides in us and will be with us forever. Grace, mercy, and peace will be with us from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Father's Son, in love, in truth and love. I rejoiced greatly to find some of your children walking in the truth, just as you were commanded by the Father. And now I ask you, dear lady, not as though I were writing a new commandment, but the one we have had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment, just as you have heard from the beginning, so that you should walk in it. For many deceivers have gone out into the world, those who do not confess the coming of Jesus Christ in the flesh. Such a one is the deceiver and the Antichrist. Watch yourselves, so that you may not lose what we have worked for, but may win a full reward. That's God's holy word. 2 John verses 3 to 8 is our focus today. And you can see here in verses 4 to 8, if you were with us for any of our first John studies, you can see the parallels, the strong parallels between the teachings of 1 John and 2 John. So even though the author's not named, these kinds of verses help us to say with confidence, yes, the same person who wrote 1 John wrote 2 John, and there's such strong parallels to the Gospel of John that it seems very clear that the same person who wrote the Gospel of John also wrote 1 John and then 2 John, and then we'll see next week on 3 John, Lord willing. Picking up in verse 3, we know that the elect lady who's being addressed here, by the way, if you weren't with us on Monday, the elect lady is the church. And so this is a letter written to the church and the children of the church. So it's John's way of personifying the church, who is the bride of Christ, the chosen people of God. So the chosen people of God, bride of Christ, is the elect lady. Grace, mercy, and peace will be with us from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Father's Son, in truth and love. This is a great greeting. Grace, mercy, and peace became a triad of greeting and of well-wishing early on in the life of the church. Sometimes Paul will open his letters, grace and peace to you, and then that's been expanded to grace, mercy, and peace. Grace is when God gives us what we don't deserve, when he is good and kind and generous to us, far above and beyond what we would deserve because of our sinful rebellion. Mercy is when God does not give us what we do deserve. And that is, he withholds from us punishment, wrath, consequences by his mercy. He's merciful to us. And peace is the peace that surpasses understanding. It's peace with God. It's peace within ourselves. It's peace with one another. It is not just the absence of conflict, but it is the presence of shalom, in the Hebrew, which is the idea of great and abundant well-being from God and with one another. So really, grace, mercy, and peace, what more could we ask for, right? That God would be kind to us and good to us far above and beyond what we deserve, that he would withhold from us the punishment that we do deserve in his mercy, and that he would give us this great and abundant well-being with him and with one another. So what's interesting is sometimes this greeting or this blessing is expressed as a wish. Grace, mercy, and peace be with you. Or may grace, mercy, and peace be with you. But here, it is a promise that is proclaimed. Grace, mercy, and peace will be with us from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Father's Son, in truth and love. So we see the relationship here between God the Father and Jesus Christ, the Father's Son. This is a pretty strong statement of Christ's full deity, because if the Father is God, then the Son of the Father is also God. He's the one and only unique Son of the Father, and he is also God. And so the God the Father and Jesus Christ, the Father's Son, will give us grace, mercy, and peace from themselves in truth and love. And truth and love is also two things that in the early church and throughout Scripture we see go together, right? Some people are prone to want to speak the truth, to be valiant for truth, to be sort of truth crusaders, but they lack love. And then there are people who are overflowing with tender hearts and affection and love, but who are reluctant and hesitant to speak the truth. Well, God speaks the truth in love, and God calls us to speak the truth in love and to walk in the truth and in love. And these two things are actually inseparable because they are at the heart of the character of God. So notice that the grace, mercy, and peace comes from God, and we walk in God and in his character. It's a profound truth that God has, through the gospel, opened up such close fellowship with himself that we receive these great blessings from him because we are in him and we walk in him. So John goes on to say, I rejoiced greatly to find some of your children walking in the truth, just as we were commanded by the Father. And here is an important truth for us to stop and acknowledge, and that is, not all of those who are of Israel are Israel. In other words, that's how Paul puts it in Romans chapter 9. Not all of those who are physically part of Israel are actually spiritually part of Israel. And as was true of Israel, is true of the church. Not all of those who are physically in the church are also spiritually in the church. Not all of those who are members of the church are actually members of Christ, because not all of those who are children of the church are walking in the truth. Some of your children are walking in the truth. Now, John is not saying, this is something we need to hear, John is not saying that you can be a true Christian, born again by the Spirit of God, grafted into Christ by faith in him, redeemed, justified, adopted, and not be walking in the truth. You have to. You have to walk in the truth, because if you're in Christ, Christ is the truth. And you live your life in Christ, and so you have to be living in the truth. Now, of course, we remain sinful. We have this old sinful nature that likes to rear its ugly head, and that doesn't mean that we're immune from being sucked into lies. God's people can and often are sucked into lies. But to be walking in the truth is to be walking in who Jesus is. In other words, it's to be living a life in Christ. And if you belong to Christ truly by faith, you are going to live your life in Christ. You are going to walk in the truth in this way. But not everyone who's in the church walks in the truth. And that's the truth. And now I ask you, dear lady, not as though I were writing you a new commandment, but one that we had from the beginning, that we love one another. So John is saying here, okay, I've heard some of you guys are really good at walking in the truth. But now Let's make sure we love one another. Because again, back in verse 3, what goes together? Truth and love. So if you're going to walk in the truth, great. But now let's make sure we love one another. So walk in the truth and love one another. And this is love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment, just as you've heard it from the beginning, so that you should walk in it. In other words, you cannot say that you love God and hate your brother. You cannot say that you love God, whom you've never seen, and hate your brother, whom you have seen. Because if you love, Jesus says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And then Jesus says, here's my commandment that I give you, love one another. So you can't come to Jesus and say, oh, Jesus, how much I love you. And oh, Jesus, how much I worship you. And oh, Jesus, how much I praise you. And oh, Jesus, how thankful I am for you. And Jesus says, great, if you love me, keep my commandments, love one another. And you say, nah, I don't like those other Christians. They're just a pain in the neck. I'm out of here. You can't do that. You can't walk away from Christian fellowship. You can't walk away from church life. You can't walk away from the truth. And that is that we are called to love one another. And that if you love Jesus, Jesus says, love one another. And that's no new thing, right? It's no new thing, but it is the truth that we've had from the beginning. Now, it is vitally important. We need to hear this part. It is vitally important that we walk in truth and in love. Because, that's what that word for means, for, because. Many deceivers have gone out into the world. Those who do not confess the coming of Jesus Christ in the flesh. Such a one is the deceiver and the antichrist. Watch yourselves, so that you may not lose what we have worked for, but may win a full reward. Now, on Monday, I talked about how vitally important it is for those of us who belong to Jesus Christ and who know the truth and who have the truth in us to love the church, because that's how John opens his letter. John says, you've got to love the elect lady and her children. That's not only does John love the elect lady and her children, but all who know the truth love the elect lady and her children because of the truth that abides in us and will be with us forever. But just as not all of those who claim to be part of the church are actually walking in the truth, and John said this in 1 John, he said, those who went out from us were not of us, or else they would not have gone out from us. But as it is, they have gone out from us so that it may be shown that they were not of us. In other words, people who walk away from the Christian faith, people who commit apostasy, people who say, I'm not doing this Jesus thing anymore, I'm out of here, I'm going to go be a non-religious person. Those people were never truly saved. They never truly knew Jesus. Because if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you cannot deny him and walk away from him any more than you could deny and walk away from yourself, because you're grafted into him. You're joined to him by God's grace through saving faith, and it is an unbreakable bond. But there are those who do not walk in the truth, and there are those who walk away from the truth, and that's the truth. And those people are not believers. They're not true believers. And so there are also, it's also true, verses 7 and 8, that there are many deceivers out in the church who are still within the church, actively sowing false doctrine. And notice, false doctrine is not, I need to say this very clearly and very carefully, but it's biblical. False doctrine that John is warning against is not that we disagree on a cultural issue, or we disagree on a political issue, or we don't see eye to eye on some way in which the gospel should be applied in the way in which we live our lives. So a difference over baptism. You know, we practice covenant child baptism. Our Baptist brethren practice believers' baptism by immersion. A difference in our understanding of what's exactly happening at the Lord's table, or a difference in understanding of the right way to live as salt and light in the culture, and what that means by implication for culture and politics to be Christ's ambassadors. We can disagree on those things. Those are not denial of the gospel. Denial of the gospel is this: those who do not confess the coming of Jesus Christ in the flesh. So put it in blunt terms, there are Christian pastors and churches in the world today who do not believe that Jesus Christ is God made flesh, is the incarnate Son of God, the one and only Redeemer. They do not believe in the virgin birth. They do not believe in the miracles of Christ. They do not believe in the resurrection of Jesus. They do not believe that the Bible is the Word of God. They are not Christians. They may call themselves Christians, they may call themselves pastors, they may call themselves churches. But if you deny that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, far from being a Christian, you are actually a deceiver and the Antichrist. So if someone is in a pastoral position or a church leadership position, and they are openly denying and flaunting the faith, that person is not a believer, but is a deceiver and is the Antichrist. And if you're in a church that's pastored by someone who says those kinds of things or believes those kinds of things or vacillates on those kinds of things, you get out, because you're not in a Christian church. You're in a house of Antichrist, and you get out. That's not what loving the church means. Loving the church doesn't mean, yes, my pastor denies the virgin birth. Yes, my pastor doesn't really believe in the bodily resurrection of Jesus from the dead. He just talks about a spiritual resurrection from the dead. Yes, my pastor doesn't really believe that the Bible is the Word of God. He just says it's sort of a helpful book about God. My pastor says all religions are ways to God. Loving the church doesn't mean staying committed to that kind of church, because that kind of church isn't honoring Christ and is not a true church. So you get out. But you don't get out just because you disagree over the style of music, or you disagree over some minor, secondary, or application point. So loving the church, but loving the truth, because the truth is what makes the true church, it's vitally important to understand those differences. Let's pray. Father in heaven, your word is clear. It cuts. It challenges. It challenges our complacency that would say, oh, I'm just going to stay home because, you know, I can't be bothered with those other Christians, and they disagree with me on this, that, or the other issue, and so I don't need them anymore. That sort of comfortable complacency is challenged by your word, but so also is a corrupting compromise is challenged by your word, O Lord. We cannot deny Christ. We cannot deny the gospel. We cannot deny your word. Father, make us holy, pure, faithful, earnest, and help us to love your truth and to love one another, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, we had some hard things to say this morning, but I hope they were helpful things. I hope they were encouraging things, help you make some discernment and see the difference. Seeing differences is vitally important to living a faithful life as a child of God. We will plan on finishing the letter of 2 John on Friday morning at 8:30, Lord willing. Have a blessed day in the Lord.